Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And you're on, right? And thank you, everybody, for listening in to another hour of When Pigs Fly. Well, I want to thank you, of course, as I reiterate, for listening into this show and future shows and past shows. And, of course, that my intro was incorporated from the Lustrio song, of Blind by Masonic Temple, and of course that's from their album Follow Me, which you can obviously check out at myspace.com/mastem. And what I heard is they are coming back out here in 2010 to do possibly a tour, but I know they're thinking of relocating, so they will definitely be out here, especially in the LA area. I will play, and I haven't played in a long, long time, I don't know why, near a few months back, but I'm going to close out with their song, which will be Devil's Suitcase. So that's at the bottom of my show, or around about the bottom of my show. And speaking of also future shows, first, next week, though, I will be on... like a mini vacation. I'm planning to sort of semi-relocate to back to the City of Angels. So I'll be looking for places to stay, or a place to stay, actually. In the meantime, since I won't be able to do my show on Friday, what I've brought up is, I think, if people out there would like, they can send me an email or through myspace.com Andrew Fetter, or like I said, flyingpigs@artlover.com. Send me an email, and based upon the request, that's what show I will replay on this upcoming Friday. So do send it. Let me know which ones you would like to hear. And, of course, this is for live, and I will, from that decision, today's show, let my producer know shortly after, or by Saturday, of course. And also, speaking of future shows, I have I penciled in, as I had mentioned before, and I feel real honored to have both of them on. Denise Vasquez and Randy Martinez will be on my show on August 14th, and we're setting them up into our live studio in Los Angeles, which I look forward to, and they have told me that they would love to play some live tunes, which, wow, that would be totally amazing. So, any of you out there, do, like I said, check out my past shows. If you got any questions, as usual, about any information, rants, or whatever, comments, or possibly future things that you would like me to do, and that's why sometimes I do shows, particularly based on the request of you, the listeners. So send me out, even comments, whatever, to my email address. Again, that's flyingpigs@artlover.com, as it says up there. And, or, of course, myspace.com/Andrew Fetter. Now, my subject today, which I'm going to get into right now, obviously, you'll probably see it, Kabbalah. Now, a lot of people who, when I talk about Kabbalism or Kabbalah, who are not aware of it, and they may have an unusual aspect of Kabbalah, or misinformed understanding of Kabbalah, it is not separate from Judaism. It is not an offshoot of Judaism. That is a non-truth, a very, very non-truth. It is not some sort of cultish or some elite little thing. Literally, Kabbalah is the essence. In fact, it is the very foundation of Judaism. I mean, without Kabbalism, of the understandings of Kabbalism, you would not have Judaism, you would not have Christianity, you would not have Islam. They were basically the legs of the dogma of what it is. And without Kabbalism, they would be, their dogma would be total abyss. I mean, literally, because it's the very foundation of why they, the dogma is written the way it is in many instances and approaches and thoughts. So in fact, every element from the Bible, whether you call it the Holy Scriptures, has within it, the aspects of the receiving and understanding, which leads to the support of the dogmas of both Christianity and Islam, and of course Judaism. In fact, you may, after prayers, people, you know, often say Amen, which literally means, it comes for Amen in Hebrew, which also they say in Hebrew, Amen, and it is the root of the poel in Hebrew, is Lamin, which means to believe. So it's to believe what you think is true. That's literally what you're saying when you say Amen, and that is also a reason why you're, person says that at the end of their prayer. It is also from a Kabbalistical approach of looking at things. You say Amen. That is part of Kabbalism. That is where it came from. It is also the reason why some prayers are often done three times a day, or three utterances, or three aspects. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in Hebrew. There are things that you may do that's of three, and there's certain numerological sequences that you'll find that has reasoning why it's done, both in mechanics, whether it's the incense, whether whatever it is, there is a Kabbalistical a foundation behind it. Now, why you might say for the minute, why do you think there is a very root of the foundation within Kabbalah? And what is, if it's the essence, some people think it came after the Bible, after, you know, some esoteric people after the fact, maybe from the book of Zohar, which is written a couple hundred years even after Jesus. But in fact, Kabbalism was way back, that was done through for the very aspects from the time of Abraham, which went to Isaac, which went to Jacob, which went all the way down the lineage, even to Joseph, who even his ideology, by the way, Joseph gave his understanding to the pharaohs, which is a whole other deal, and even Moses went down the line to even the King David and Solomon, and even Jesus himself was a Kabbalist. In fact, he very much utilized the Kabbalism and in the reality of it, not the characters that people have made him up to be, including Muhammad. He is also a Kabbalist, so his support, his foundation of what he utilized very much was within the tandems of Kabbalism. And then in Christianity and in Muslims, they definitely perform very much Kabbalistical practices in its foundation, even whether it's in their prayer or their mechanical aspects that they perform. In fact, the suris of the Islam definitely delve into very special aspects within the Kabbalism. The same of many Christians, which they there you might hear Rosasians or even offshoots of many Christians, the Coptics or whatever. Have utilized, even the Catholic Church itself utilizes through the word, use of Trinity and heaven and hell, and there's many aspects that they do utilize, they pull off from the scriptures and knowledge of Kabbalism and the Kabbalistical approaches. They will not tell their parishioners about this because they don't want, they're like almost secret to some extent. But they know very well that that's where its basis is from, and they are definitely aware of it. And what I also found very fascinating to me, and I will get into the myth of everything, I also find it, it is, though it, not to get off tangent, like I said, I find it quite fascinating that not only within Kabbalism, which is basically Middle Eastern Western influence, but I find it very fascinating that the same understandings, same approaches, the same views, the same sort of perspectives, if you would say, is like from the I Ching of China or the Chinese understandings, from the like Taoism, from the Hopis, to the Mayans and Native Americans. And it's just amazing that there's a commonality, which I don't want to dwell into, but I find very unique because I think there is a, that brings the commonality within all humanity from its very foundation, no matter where you're from. But, like I said, I don't want to get off tangent. That's like a whole other show, possibly. I could probably do just on that aspect. And but I must say, like I've said in very past shows, Kabbalah, in order to understand the Kabbalism, you need to understand the language and its and underlying elements, its linguistics behind within its nature, which, like, you have to think. You know, people have said you have to think in a language. That is very much true, because with your thinking of the language, then you can perceive and understand the mindset of the dimensions of that language, and therefore you will truly understand what it's coming from. So when you're reading a translation from the Bible in English, that is not the real reality, the perception from the original scriptures. Unless you learn to understand Hebrew or in some aspects Aramaic, then you understand the very mindset behind it. Now, somebody who understands Hebrew can read the English and know, oh, go back what they're really trying to say because of the wordings of how they would say things and what their the real mindset was behind it. Because sometimes when out of translation, it is often lost. And then in Hebrew, which I'm going to get into, you're going to see, it's very much, there are roots of the words themselves, and besides having the numerical processes of their letters, there's also intertwining of the words themselves. And I'll give you an example, which are very indeed unique. For example, the word for man is ish in Hebrew, and the word for a woman is isha. And they said that in God's name, the Yud, Yah, and Ha, is, which is from Yahweh. Some people are familiar with that, which is one of God's names. And if they say that if you take the Yah and the Ha from man's name or woman, the Ish or the Isha, then what is left is Esh. And Esh in Hebrew means, of course, fire or anger. Thus, without God in your heart, there is anger. So you see, within the words themselves, they have almost a reflective meanings behind them. Even in man's own name, people say Adam. Adam in Hebrew is Adam, okay? That's where it comes from, Adam, Adam. And what is Adam? Adam? It comes from the word from Adama. Adama is earth in Hebrew. So Adama, man, Adam, came from earth. And then you understand that blood is dam in Hebrew. Blood by itself is just dam. But when you add in, there's an Allah for the Adam, which is the unification of God's presence in the blood, therefore creates Adam, the perp man, humanity. So, now you'll often read in the scriptures, some people have read, and I've corrected what they mistranslated, saying son of man, because that literally says ben Adam, ben, meaning son of man in its literal form. But ben Adam means humanity, and like I said, it's often misinterpreted. It's so in Hebrew, like I said, there's an intertwining element of its significant meanings, and this includes within the Old Testament, like I said, in the Old Testament to many of you, or the Holy Scriptures, but it's in particular amazing within Torah itself, which, by the way, consists of the first five books of Moses. And it has more than just the casual, literal meaning that when you read its wordings and the, you know, phrases and whatever in the stories, there's more significance actually behind it. In fact, even today, people are now rediscovering the so-called biblical codes within it. which have always been well known, but only existed and only well known and divulged for a select few of that ability to utilize. Of course, the advent of computers, of course, makes it even easier. Now, in Hebrew, like I said, it has a very unique expression, where from one word is another, yet it continues a numerical expression. Even in the letters themselves, you'll often see, if you look on Hebrew, written, by the way, in script, true how it's written in the scriptures of Torah, for example, you'll see these little crowns, and they're often called tagun. And tagun, which represents almost like, they say, like God is the Torah, the first five books of Moses' Torah, is said to be like the tongue, the lashon, of God. Thus, the tagun, the crowns, are simply the buds of his utterances, which I will not get into today because it's very, very intensely detailed, but they do have extreme significance and more of a numerical significance in itself. Now, like I said, Hebrew is based upon a uniqueness because it has what they call a shorash, which is the root, which is three letters, and those who are not aware. And these three, now in those three, which is a very important reason, three, has a significance, which I'll, like I said, later explain. And now, within Judaism, from the, like I said, from its foundation, you'll have to understand there is an infinite approach. But like the letters I'm talking about, the three, and I'll get into, you'll understand where I'm going to, and why the shorash, the root, or they often call the poel, which is the action, the verb, has a significant foundation in Judaism for its foundation in Kabbalah and its understanding and its infinite understanding and perception and looking at things in an infinite approach. So when you put something, for example, in a finite perception, you cannot and will often be obscured when you try to perceive it. The illusion of a finite understanding when, in, of course, it simply isn't. That's the root, the shorash, or the Hebrew, is a verb. Thus, it is the action. It is the, and in the action, everything is an action. All life around us is an action. Everything is consistently moving, and this isn't even falls with the terms within the understandings of quantum physics, where particle and wave, there is always consistent action, movement. That's why in the shorash, the verb, the root, is carrying this vibration with its particle and wave in its embodied symbiotic relationship. So the letters with the words make up these vibrations with a pulse-like variation by their own significance and vibrations and their own waves or patterns. It would be for each letter has its own unique numerical variation in the sense that it pulsates a frequency that hence is like the number, and that's its importance. So say the, you know, and here's an example of the, I'll just give you quickly the letters, which I'll go through, the first 10, I guess, but it'll give you an idea. For example, Aleph is 1, Bet is 2, Gimel is 3, Dalet 4, Hey is 5, Vav is 6, Zion is 7, Chet is 8, Tet is 9, Yud is 10, and then there's other ones, including like Shin, which is 300, and Lamed is 30, or Kuf is 20. These all letters in Hebrew correspond to the a number, and that's where numerology in the Western civilizations, where the foundation is. It's actually from Hebrew. Numerology came from that basis. It's not Sumerian. It's actually originally from those letters, which is very unique in itself. And that's how it developed through Kabbalism. And there's a significance, like I said, with the frequency within each letter. And each one has its own uniqueness. It's like if I took a small pebble and threw it in the water, it'd create a certain type of ripple, as opposed to if I threw a larger one. You know, this rippling happens within the universe in the same token, whether it's a large stone or a smaller stone, it will have a rippling effect. There's an energy of waves that are corresponding within the universe. And this is what is within the frequency within each letter or number. So it's not the energy, it's not the stone by itself, it's actually the energy caused by the stone or the action of the stone. Hence the understanding of the letters and numbers within Hebrew, and the reasons for both as well is the reasons behind the numerical importance of these actions. So you understand, that's why in Hebrew it's poel, it is the action, the verb, the root, all things are an action. That's why each letter has its significance, because it has that vibrational area, which I'm about to explain, too. And like each letter in Hebrew has a number, and this entails, of course, like I reiterate again, the frequency. The letter by itself is just that, it's just a letter. But the thought, even in looking at a letter, it's not the letter itself, but looking at the letter, if you have a thought process of what your relation to the letter or to the number or whatever, it creates an esoteric of energy known and very much substantiated by and supported by quantum physics. You know, it is what is action, what it makes it significant. But then in the universe and reality, like I reiterate, this is infinite of action. Nothing ever is still. Energy is always pulsating. Everything is moving. Even at Kelvin zero, there is energy movements. There's things happening. There's nothing is. Everything, something's pulsating. It's always pulsating. You know, nothing stops. Everything is movement. Thus, action. And that's why when you look at things, the world is not a noun, which a noun is a finite way of looking things. Yet we tend to try to push things into nouns, classify, categorize. And that is actually an illusionary attempt by our own way of perception, perceiving that the objects are only solid, but in reality they aren't. We only perceive things are totally solid because of our own perceptual understandings, our own minds, our own eyes perceive that in the reflection of the light. But in reality, there's space and beyond space, which I've had discussions about in past shows. Now, in each aspect of both the letters and numerology, it is well premised within Kabbalah. Hence, I've, like I said in past shows, about the Sefirot, which literally, if you haven't heard in my past show or other shows, or have heard from Kabbalism, Sefirot means literally to is counting, the sofer, to count. Mispar is the number. Everything, that's what that comes from. Anyway, from every understanding, with even in the sciences, is corresponded to an importance of numbers. Everything that you see around you, the chair I'm sitting on, looking at a computer, the cup, the Starbucks drink I'm drinking right now, all has relating numbers, the quantity, the amount of water, the amount of caffeine in there, the light, the configurations, setting up the room, the design, the engineering, every single thing around you in both physical appearance that you can perceive and non that you can't perceive with your own eyes, but that actually is there, including the wavelengths that are running around the world, both in matter side as well as antimatter, are relations to numbers. That's why Einstein and all these physicists, every time they want their chalkboards, try to figure out things by numbers, sequence of events, because they all are connected. So by themselves, though, the numbers are just that, just numbers, but it's by their action that they're important. And same thing is in the scribe. When a scribe takes a letter, for example, a master scribe, you know, you may have seen in some, maybe a Jet Li movie or something. I remember a hero with a person, it wasn't the letter that they're designing, and they would erase it and they'd do it again and again. It was the act. It was the recreation of the letter. It was the action of the letter that was so important. Now, the reason I keep on reiterating this over and over, so the mindset, the understanding, so you can see things from it's the reality of action, because that is our reality. That is our infinite understanding. So maybe many of you probably have heard many concepts about the books of Kabbalah or been told places or tried to explain them, you know, using pictures of letters, that it's just a letter or some. But again, you're looking at an illusion of the finite perspective, because the very truth is in the form of the infinite, and every illusion of the finite is in reality the lie. I'll repeat again. the truth is in the form of infinite, and that's in every aspect around our the universe. Every time you look at something with an infinite approach, you are looking and approaching it from a truthful sense. Every time you try to perceive an illusionary of a finite, which is really in reality a perception of something and as an object of a defined limitation, a defined thing, that is really a lie. It is not the truth. Thus, hence, like I said, when you look at aspects of godliness and all that, you'll hear the understanding is in Judaism, for example, and in Islam, and in Taoism, and in Buddhism, and understanding within Native Americanism and others, and even the original Christians of the agnostic Christians, and even Jesus themselves, they looked upon looking at the universe as an infinite aspect. That's why it's sort of obscure for them to look at a father and son or a defined image of God or a he or a she, because that is not the opposite of their esoteric understandings of the universe. When humanity, though, understands this process, then I believe, and I think it will come in and arise and embrace and increase their frequency of today's very opportunity of what they now people call the ascension. So when people's frequencies start increasing and they see what the universe really is out there, their own frequency will increase. Hence the frequency, their number will change, their atmosphere, the numerical things will change. Now in Hebrew, I will reiterate, it must be understood by its own perceptual aspect. That is because it's from the tongue, it is the language that affects our perceptions. And what I mean by that is when we speak or explain, like here I'm talking, explaining something to you all through the phone, you're receiving and it's going out to the universe and through the internet. You are listening to my language of English, which in itself is a very a perceptual aspect in its own way of perceiving things. So language in itself is perception. That's why sometimes when different cultures see things, a lot of it has to do with understanding is language, and you have to cross over languages. For someone who says one word to another, that reference or translation of that, look at it and relate to it totally differently. For example, even freedom itself, some people relate that totally different than what we would relate to freedom, and it's only out of their language that corresponds. And even the late George Carlin once said, which I think is sort of funny, he said very sarcastically, by and large, language is a tool for concealing the truth. Think about it. Language is a tool for concealing the truth. Because in a way, if we look at language for what it is concealing truth, but we look beyond the perception of just language, then we can get in the depths. And this is why I think in Hebrew, one aspect has its uniqueness is because it gets into looking enough from the perception of the poel, the infinite aspect, as opposed to illusionary too. It keeps on going on and on with no, it's like going down the rabbit hole, basically. And this is just the view. Again, this is a perceptual view, but in our reality, it's being confirmed consistently that this is our reality. Now, I also want to explain something that's very, very important to understand. And even in the Old Testament, you'll never, and this deals with the issue of divinity or God aspect of within the Bible or Old Testament, or Holy Scriptures, you will never see any mention as he or she. Now, you'll have it translated in English, but in Hebrew, its original form, there is no. It doesn't say who or he, which is in Hebrew. Who is he in Hebrew, and he is she, okay? That's a little, he is sort of funny in Hebrew, but that's you'll never see that. And you don't say he part of the sea, or she said to so-and-so. It never says that. That's how they translate in English, because in English, you have to have a pronoun. And that's why I mentioned about language can really totally change what things really are in a language. In fact, in Hebrew, in the Bible, there's no personification of really a God, like, oh, and it's only when God is saying something, it's utterance, it's reflecting, it's expanding the knowledge in a very finite aspect, but in reality, there's more of an infinite aspect to it, and that's the problem. People are literally reading from a literal point, which is a very finite aspect, which is inconsistent within what was trying to be approached. So the personification of God, which, by the way, is very opposite. It's very, in its own essence, an egotistical way of looking at. That's why the masculine side, the father and son thing, for example, or any time you say he, God, or the father, or the man, or he did, it's non-existent in Judaism, and even Jesus would never say that in its own aspect, because that is contrary to their belief systems, very much so. That's a fact. In fact, there's three names that are often related within the Bible, and they're called, I'll give you an example, the three often utilized, but there's numerous, over 300 names utilized of God's name. And one of them is a masculine tense, and that's, of course, everybody knows Elohim or El. And then there's the feminine tone, which often uses the Shaddai. And, of course, the third, which often mystics utilize, and besides the other two, they do as well. But everybody is known as the Yahweh, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is in itself is pretty unique the way it's numerical and everything else. But they all have their numerical values, you know. And so it's very important to understand that there is a number approach. You know, it's for the numbers and their vibrational sequences and the frequency is their real understanding. You know, and please do try to understand that what I'm trying to explain in words, for we as souls tend, again, try to perceive with our own senses. You know, and I'll try to be brief when I go through certain of the numbers and the letters corresponding to them, and I'll go through 1 through 10. But they are, I can literally do many shows just on one number or one letter. I mean, literally. So you'll please bear with me when I go into these approaches. You know, like I said, that the sequences of numbers is very important, but it's also important to look at things on a level of infinite understanding. And the reason why I keep on reiterating, like, oh God, here over and over again, is because that is, I think, a very important aspect to see. And anyway, I have to take a sip of some my delicious caffeine here. But, excuse me. But going through, starting from the first letter, which in itself is a very unique letter, it's called the Aleph in Hebrew, and it represents one. And which is reference to what is one? Echad, you'll see the meaning one, the E. You know, it's a directness, the direction. It's a togetherness, echad, together, beyachad, into together. It is also the beginning. That's why in Bereshit, it's the Aleph. It's the very beginning of all things, the unification of those all things. It is, therefore, because there was and beyond, it was before the existence. Thus, it was the individuality that has its characterizes its vibrational area. It is within its own grandness of the universe. It is the single leaf that's on even the tree of life. Hence, the Aleph, in a sense, is the tree of life. But it represents that our uniqueness, the oneness. Those who are often born or associated the one have a certain direction. You know, people heard on numerology and how it relates to the day they're born. Well, here's an example, and you know, it's just a caricature. It's more of not a vibrational area. People have choices out of these variations, and usually they're karmic sequences that people have chosen these particular life situations in a very spiritual sense, because they are own higher self decide to go through those, whether it challenges or healing processes, for one way, shape, or form, or to correct situations, which I'll also get into. So there is the one, and the one for those who are associated, they have a certain direction, a certain destiny. They're not really any diversions. It's almost like they're going through this one long tunnel or one long road. There's no real diversion. The road just literally pulls them along to their destiny. You know, they have this straight direct one direction that they're heading to. It's to keep them literally on the path. Usually ones have a direction. And there may be even a sense of loneliness to a one because of their uniqueness. There may be a tendency to feel a strangeness, a diversionary feeling that they're so different. They might actually feel alone, but they really aren't. And that's why it's the part of the tree of life, because in reality you are. In fact, we're all one, you know, when I say one world, one consciousness. See, that we tend to think that we're separate, but in reality that's what humanity thinks it is, but it isn't. That's the tree of life. So this is the very esteemed vibration, the element of, you know, they'll feel the vibration of being alone. But it's also an opportunity, like I said, never to, you don't feel alone, you're not really separated. It's the opportunity to expand your uniqueness, your own individuality, while at the same token, realize the oneness, the Aleph. Because it is, in reality, it is the tree of life. That's the oneness. That's the essence of one. Because nothing can be, by the way, reduced beyond the one. You can't, except for 10, which I'll get into. The 10 is a whole universe of one. And that's everything, all right? But one, nothing can be reduced down. Thus, we are all part of togetherness. We're all nothing separate. We all have your individuality, but then we're all collectively one conscious, one people, one humanity, one earth, one universe. So, now, and two, which is represented by the letter Bet. In many Kabbalistic writings, you know, people often see the two or the Bet as heaven and earth. And it's the dichotomy, the symbiotic relationship, the aspects in all things, what it really represents, the heaven and earth, the two. Two is a duality within all our dimensions. It is like we have matter and antimatter, dark and light, love and hate, death and birth. Yet it is also the bridge into these aspects. It is the bridge between them, the bridge between we are living in the duality, our life, the birth side in this, this realm is duality. That is why there will always be dark and light. Whether people, there's all never going to be dark. No, no. That's why there are always dark in this realm. There's dark and light. God created the universe with two hands, not one hand. That's why the duality. There's like, for every action, there's a reaction. That's what the duality has, the personality of that, and which is, you know, it is like the question, and then there's the answer. There's like the two, in I've said in the past, there's two houses of Israel, the Judah and Joseph, to be one in Ezekiel. Yet the two, like I said, represents the bet, which is in like a bayit, which means house in Hebrew, which is also the covering, the sheltering of everything, showing everything is connected. In every aspect, there are two points. We have two ears, two noses, two nostrils. Those are our finite entities, which bridge our perceptions. Those who are two are very highly cognitive. They're constantly thinking, changing. Two represents change. It has a changing atmosphere from one point to another point. One world to another realm. And thus the universe was created with two hands. It is the creation of the unself. But there is a diversion of two, and that which is 11. Now there are numbers, they're called double numbers, and the masters of these numbers of their duality. Like I said, these are the master numbers. 11, 22, 33, 44, 55. Anytime you see those after those numbers, they are called the master numbers. So, but in 11 has, even though it rounds to 2, reflects a, you know, dark versus light. It's the test of conflict. It's consistently in conflict. So those who are associated with 11 are normally have very many conflicts. Even in their own relationships, they'll have a love-hate relationship consistently, but they will never really try to break off. They'll be go away, come back, go away, come back, go away, come back. They'll constantly want to change, moving around, because they'll feel of conflict. They'll be in work, they'll feel in conflict with others. There's always this conflict, and then what it is their test of karmic, if you want to call it, the tikkun of anger. The reaction of these conflicts and how they relate to them will be a positive conflict, will a compromise or understanding of the situation, or embittered anger, which is the opposite end. You know, we all have choice. So that is of the 11, and of course I said mention of 2. Now there's another letter, which is all that Gimel. Now we're going to Gimel, which is 3. Which is a very esoteric, you'll see it, you know, Christians use Trinity, you've heard, but in many areas around, you heard try this, three, that. But in essence, the three is like truth, justice, healing. Excuse me, it was Dalit, not Gimel. Dalit. Anyway, Dalit, which is literally the backbone or the neck of Adam, is sometimes scriptures or some esoteric looks at, approaches a thing, and is of 3. And Shin, by the way, is 3 too, which is another very important letter of 300. But in 3, Dalit, they're, like I said, truth, justice, and healing. For in the truth is the sod, which is the secret. In the secret aspects of all things, there are 3. 3 of which is the Merkava. Merkava is going out of body. The Bereshit, which is the very beginning. And the deeds that you do, those are the 3 very aspects. The way of the light are called the pillars of righteousness. Those who walk into the way of the light, there are called the 3 pillars of righteousness. There's the reverence, the honor, and integrity. They are also expounded even further of righteousness, which is the love, the Adonai, the Yahweh. They're your deeds, which is the reverence, the respect, the integrity, which is represented by the Shaddai, the petition, which is the prayer, to speak is Elohim. And justice in itself, which is the truth, is the tikkun of the deed. And tikkun is the karma, it's the fixing. Thus, if you will find within, also find of 3, 12, 21, 30. And you will to heal from the tikkun is within reverence, with love and prayer. And again, all healing also is done within 3. Elijah, Eliyahu made 3 utterances for healing. All healing is done within 3. Jesus, you will find, certainly you've done healing with 3. 3 is the triangle. 3 is the pyramid. 3 is the pillars of Sefirot, the triangulation of the universe, the time, the space, the being. The triangles of the Star of David, unifying the duality of the universe. The 12 zodiacs of the 3 seasons of the zodiac where one works to sow the ground. Fourth, of course, being the heart. 3 is also within manifestation and utterances within the Yesod, the God secret, the essence of the universe. Thus, 3 is justice, healing. It is your vibrational essence in this lifetime. That's how important it is. You will find it in many, 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 many aspects. The 3 wise men, for example, whether it's in 3 wise men of the Far East, the 3 wise men in Christianity, 3 whatever. Again, It is the truth, the justice, the healing. So, now we'll get into the four corners, and I apologize with the three that was Gimel. I was right, I'm sorry. I'll bet Gimel. Dalet, guy, I must be leaping ahead, thinking ahead of time. But the Dalet, I apologize, that was Gimel was three, and Dalet is, of course, four. I'll bet Gimel Dalet. I have to count my fingers here. Now, four, though, is extremely important. It deals with the four corners of the universe. It is divine knowing, the eye of all. 13, L, 31 is the direction of the light. One, the direction three, the truth for being all stretches of the universe, the four cups of Passover, the awareness, the choice, the deed, the blessing, is the four mothers of Israel. Fourth, being in the solar system, thus Mother Earth. The phantom of being, the intuitive, the receiver of the universe, the ear of our soul, those of four, whether 4, 13, 31, tend to be highly psychic because they are the eyes of the universe. Not only totally being closed, their eyes aren't totally closed when they were born. They're seeing all sides, all aspects. They have the vision of all things. They are the seer. The 22, by the way, is a master of the seer, seeing both sides of the duality. Even the utterances of in Hebrew, the letters themselves, are 22 letters, hence its mastery of the tongue. That is the significance of four. Five, the life. The life, protection, two of five. To create the universe of five, thus it was 10. It took two fives, two hands of five. The universe has a, and thus creating equal measure, of course. There's light and dark. But five has also a very significant, in it is life. 32 was its breath. The life was created out of 32 utterances. From 32, from life, there was also 23, that the protection of all things, which is the Michal, the Michael. There was 23 utterances of protection. This is the star of Phi, the pentagram, which is, in sense, life, representing of nature, because that is life. Israel was born on Iyar 5, May, which is 5, 14, which division into 14th is a 5. That's in its divinity, its birth, its power. It is protected, but it also holds the power of 14, and 14 holds the power of the Shrikas of the holy names. Thus, those who curse or hate will also, out of its own utterances, bring upon its own self the tikkun, the karmic, against themselves. So if you give love and hate and respect to it, you indeed show the same in its five. That's the 14. It is the five books of Moses that bring back life into the people of Israel. All of the 14, though, is the bridge. Those of the 14 are protected, yet is beholden to the 14 secrets of the universe with the holy names. Those of 14 are the bridges now. They are the King Davids, the Jesus, the Hopis, the Buddhas, the Shamans, many others that carry the burdens of the essence for their ultimate mission, a bridge, a messenger, a carry prisoner, bring the bridge of opportunity for those others to heal, learn, grow, understand, most of all, love. They are the bridge, the five protects, the 32. It is the essence of creation, the souls. It is the essence and creation of life. It is the breath of life within the tree of life. But yet it has 23 of angelic realms to protect them all. And yet there is a sixth. Six, essentially, is the leaves of life. It is humanity, all souls within the universe. It is the passion, the emotion, the will, the thirst for understanding, the desire. 6 points of the Star of David, the thirst, the struggle, the tempt, the thirst, the understanding, the challenge. It is humanity. Six is humanity. It is a reflection. That's why the Star is a reflection of humanity. It is the humanity. With six there is indeed the desire, but the heed of six, those born of the six, the compulsion to desire, but a proper direction. It has an energy of driving force, but there needs to be a direction. This is the test of the six. Six can also be the 33, master of their own domain. They can carry that great passion with great energy and manifestation into a positive aspect. But again, the calamity of six can also be those who are born of the six can be compulsive of both, whether it's food, drugs, sex, or whatever, or work, or whatever. They have can be elusive to being compulsive. So their struggle is to utilize that great energy in a positive form, their great desire not to fall into the path of depression, because that in itself is a compulsion. Again, six is a lesson. It is a lesson in humanity, is a compulsion. It's compulsion from being divisive, it's compulsion of fear and compulsive to hate. Yet in 33, it can be the master, like I had said. Even as 15, it can be the magician, the creator from its very existence. Then there's the seven. Seven is the seventh, the Shaddai, the 313, 313, the reception, the venom inside of the of God. Ironically, though, seven can also be the L. Or Elohim. Excuse me. But in real essence, the Shaddai is the seven. The seventh is Saturn, the esoteric, the reflection, the field, the essence, the reception of the universe is held within the seven. Seven is open your eyes and you will hear. Open your ears and you will see. Open your mind and you will feel. Open your heart and you will understand. These are the seven, the understanding. It is the Shaddai, the receiving name of God. Excuse me. It is the place on doors as a reminder. That is why the Shaddai in most Jews, they put the mezuzah on their doors. It is a reminder. That is why it is used. It is to bind your hearts and minds. It is to know that you are all part of the universe. It is a reflection. Thus, that is why the Sabbath, the Sabbat, the seventh day, is the day of reflection, the day to relax, not to work, to relax, to reflect, to realize your universe, if you to correspond. It is an opportunity to listen. Here those of who have 25, though, they have the duality to listen, but heed the duality of the path. Dark only brings more dark, and light only brings more light. Thus, the five allows for protection in the center. So those who run to go to the dark will only receive more light. Dark. Those who go to the light will receive more light. It's the, you know, it's wherever, if you go in a direction, you would just correspond to that area. Like, it's literally a mirror. That's of the 25. And then there's the 16, which is sort of like which is literally often called the Babel, the rise so fast you fall. Your path is got to be in slow baby steps, so take it easy if you're of 16. Little by little, don't rush, take your time, make a base. That is your forefront. You like to, if you build straight up, you'll definitely fall. But there's also a unique thing, by the way, I'll mention of seven. I mentioned before there's 32 utterances to create all essences of life. But it was 10 plus 10, which is 20, which continued the recycling of this life upon itself. Thus 52. So it was the recreation, the consistently constant recreation, the renewal is 52. Rebirthing, dying, rebirthing of life, continually of life. Eight is the infinity of the Yahweh, the universe. That is immediate. It is the I am for I am, the ultimate, the one, the all God, the universe. Even the 44 is the master of all masters for its numbers. Even the Yahweh that is numbered is 26. Thus, of 26, those of the 26 will always have an angelic presence around them to protect them. They will always be on the floor with 2 feet. They may fall down, but like cats, they'll fall on their 2 feet. In essence of the human, it is in the essence because it is the essence of humanity that this is the opportunity to fortune for those who are of the 26, to utilize this opportunity for a positive to grow the healing. That is the, of that. But it's also the very opportunity that the 26 have received, or those of 8, to help others and other souls around the universe. It is their opportunity not to be narcissistic, but to help others. That is this essence. 17 is the understanding that should die. 1, to, like I said, the tree of life. 7, the esotericness of the what I had already had previous said of the Shaddai. And they are like usually amongst similar to the 26, and they hold the same direction, not as much fortune, but they do carry that positiveness around them. And that's why the 17, which goes down to an 8, has that great infinite capacity. And 9 is the manifestation, is the creator, the healer, the 3 of 3, the 3 triangles, the 3 of 3 pillars, the king of kings, the creation. In that instant, those of 3 is created. But where those of 18, though it comes to 8, though it has, some people have looked upon the name of Chai in Hebrew as life. But the real 18 has 2 directions, one of light or one of dark. You can instantly create an element of light, and therefore will be light immediately within this tikkun. There will, in this lifetime of this tikkun. If you do something dark, you will imminently receive that tikkun of dark karma. So it's very important, those of 18, you walk toward the light. Because if you don't, whatever you do will hit you with that like a boomerang so fast you don't know it hit you. That's 18, put it nicely. But it has a very positive, like I said, if you create off it, it is very enlightening. Thus you will be able to create immediately of all your consciousness in your life to the next. 27 has not the peril, but heed the warning. It is too with you have a duality. So you must choose and choose wisely with your gift of manifestation. And finally, there is the Yod, the perfection, the Ein Sof, the beyond the Ein Sof, the infinity. 10 is the perfection of the infinite aspects of our universe. It is from the minute to the smallest of things, beyond to the largest essence that we cannot see. It is beyond even the Pi, it is beyond the Tao, it is beyond the essence of God. It is the universe. It is the beginning. It was a manifestation of 2 utterances, of 2 hands of God, of 5, as I mentioned before. That's the creation of the entire universe. Thus the understanding of the universe is infinitely beyond knowing. So it was only understood. 10 is also the essence of the wheel of the universe, the wheel of life, the wheel of the Creator. It is the ultimate tikkun, the ultimate karmic wheel. It is what happens will surely come back. The 10 is whether it is a 19 or 28. Those of the 10, 19 or 20 will endeavor this wheel in its full capacity. But again, it is only the opportunity for your deed, for your own healing, will surely be felt, not in next lifetime, but in this lifetime. Thus it is the Yod, the Ein Sof, the perfection of this beautiful universe. It represents the manifestation, the frequency, the vibration of 10, the Yod. It is beyond the Ein Sof. The 10 is our great opportunity. Thus hence the 2012, which is the 5 upon 5. Again, the next world, the 10 being the new world, the ascension. It is a great aspect in our times that we're right now living or experiencing. And with my words, and like I said, I can keep on going with this over and so in depth, as you can see, there's so much. But I want to thank you, and with my words, for the love of all, we are all one universe, one consciousness, all connected to one another, all connected to the God and connected to the universe. God bless you all, and again, thank you, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. And I close with Devil Suitcase. Thank you, and God bless you again. Bye.